thank the Lord for Calvary. Say amen.
Amen.
Your sins are gone. Does that excite you at all?
Amen.
I mean, if you gave every sin, you're going to live in heaven for all eternity. So thank God for that. And because of the shed blood of Christ, if you trust in Jesus, you'll live forever in a place called heaven. And I don't know about you, but that's amazing grace to me, amen, that he loved me and died for me and give me everlasting life. I'm sure glad you're here this morning. Thank you for being here. And as you will, if you will, please open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. I'm going to read this morning as a text two of the most familiar passages of Scripture in all of the Old Testament. So if I've had you to turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 3, you may already have a suspicion what the other one may be. So when you find Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to hold your place there. Proverbs chapter 3, and you find that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Proverbs, you'll find it there. All right, go ahead. It's in the middle of the Old Testament. Proverbs, all right. Now you got Proverbs chapter 3. Turn back to the book of Psalms. Psalms 23. And we're going to read here together. You have Proverbs chapter number 3. I want you to look at this together this morning. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you mark your Bible, will you mark that little word paths? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Then turn over to Psalms 23. Psalms 23, and David gives this testimony. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'd like to call your attention back, please, if you would, to verse number 3. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in paths. Mark that word, paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Two of the most familiar passages of Scripture in all the Old Testament have a word in common. It is the word paths. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your paths. And he says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And he said, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for the blessed privilege of being in your house. Our Father, I want to thank you for our dear friends who've gathered here, for all the vast radio audience, and for those who've joined us worldwide by the means of internet. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, bless the hearts of God's people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this place and for this people. And our Father, I would, Lord, pray this morning that not one boy, one girl, one man, one woman in this building would be lost for all eternity in a place called hell. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost this morning would make real truth of the gospel and the cross real to them, that they would come to know Christ. And then, Lord, for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, God, for all of us, that, God, you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, you've challenged us and, Lord, commissioned us to feed the church of God, to feed your sheep. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to help me this morning. And, our Father, I acknowledge the fact without you I could do nothing. And, God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to breathe on me, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you this morning something along this line, the paths of the shepherd. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you acknowledge him in all your ways, if you lean not to your own understanding, if you trust him with all of your heart, he leads you and he'll direct your paths. And he says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. It would seem to me that if you're saved by the grace of God, there is a directed path of a divine shepherd. He's leading you. He has a path for you to go down, and he's leading you that way. How many of you this morning are saved and you're on your way to heaven? You know that. Amen. If you're saved this morning, he's leading you down a path. He's leading you in that direction. Many of you grew up, and you know, the kids today, they don't even know what a path is. I mean, they don't even know what a dirt road is. Most of them don't. And but a path, when you and I were growing up, there were paths that went everywhere. And you'd have a path here and a path here, and some of you had a path that went down to the little house right out behind the house. And you know what I'm talking about. But there were paths that you had, and you follow those things. Well, what that is, it is a well-traveled route. It's a route that have people have gone down over all the years. And if you would go back to the beginning of time when the Lord spoke and created Adam in the garden, and they walked together in the cool of the day and followed as Enoch walked with God, and as Abraham walked with God, and Isaac walked with God, and all the other saints of God, they have worn a path for the saints of God. And that's the path that you and I will walk, because it is the paths of the shepherd. It's where he leads his people, where he directs them and the way they go. And what about those paths? I want to draw from the book of Psalms 23 this morning a few things about the paths of the shepherd. In the first place, I'd say to you, this path is a path of relationship. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You're not following him if you're not saved. There's no way you can. You can mimic the Christian life. You can come to Benson Grove Baptist Church. You can tote a King James Bible. You can sing in the choir. You can sing Sunday school. And you be in Sunday school, and you can do all those things. But my dear friend, unless you have a relationship with him, you're not in the paths of the shepherd. You're not following him. You're not leading. He said this. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." It's in the Bible. Repeat it with me. "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." It's not my path. The only time when the prodigal got in trouble is when he went down to far country, and the Bible said, and he wasted his substance, righteous living. And the Bible said, and he went his own way. The Bible says the backslider, that he shall be filled in heart with his own way. And if you're following the shepherd, you're walking in his path. It is a path of relationship. You have that relationship with him. If you've never been saved, there's no way you're on the path to start with. It's not listening to me or listening to the other preacher or learning how to be a Christian. It's not living a certain lifestyle or following a set of rules. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about following the shepherd. "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." They follow him because he's leading us in paths of righteousness, because we've been saved by the grace of God. How do you get saved? By walking down this aisle or joining this church or being baptized or anything? No, there has to be that crucial event in your life when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Now listen to me. I'm looking at people this morning I've been in this church for 16 and a half years, and some of you may not know Christ as your Savior. You're not in his path because you've never had that definitive experience when you repented of your sin and were born again by the grace of God. You must be born again. You can do all kind of religious things and not be saved. The Lord said there's going to be some people in that day who will say to me, "Lord, Lord," and he'll say, I never knew you. And they say, "Didn't we do all these things, do all these wonderful works in your name and all those things?" He said, "Depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you." The Lord knows those that are his, and his sheep know his voice, and they follow him because they are following in the paths of the shepherd. It's where the shepherd's leading them. And it is a distinctive marked trail. It's been in the history of God's people. They've walked this trail all the time. It is one of relationship. It has to be that you're saved by the grace of God. When David said that the Lord is my shepherd, he knew the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And that is this. There is a one of passion. That is, that the shepherd, I believe, really loved the sheep. He really cared for the sheep. Because Jesus said in the New Testament, he talks about hirelings. That's somebody who just kind of is a fill-in. And he said, a hireling flees when the wolf comes because he careth not for the sheep. What's that say? It says that the shepherd has an affection for the sheep. He has a passion for the sheep. He loves the sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. He loves us, and he gave his life for us. And because he first loved us, we love him. And we in that relationship, that's why we go where we go. We don't do anything. We don't follow just the example of other people. But because Christians love the Lord, they follow him. and they follow him because of that passion. But David also understood this about the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. It is not only one of passion, but it's one of possession. That shepherd owns that sheep. It is his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. But the Bible said the Lord knows those that are his. He knows his sheep. His sheep hear his voice and they follow him. They are owned by him. Paul said that God owns us, body, soul, and spirit. And we are his by possession. He owns us outright. And this path is one of relationship in regard to possession. He owns us. We can't go where we want to go. We can't do what we want to do. We have an old nature that would go this way and that way. But if we get out of following the shepherd, we're in our path and not in his path. We are to surrender to the Lord. Paul, who wrote 14 books of the Bible, he said, I keep my body subject, lest after I preach to others, I become a castaway and unusable. Because Paul understood the principle that you've got to follow the shepherd. You've got to follow right behind him because you're not your own. You're bought with a price. He owns you outright. He owns everything about you. You're his possession. It's one of passion. He loves you. But he also saved you and he bought you with a price. You're not bought with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to him. He wants you to follow him. It's one of passion. It's one of possession. That wonderful relationship is one of purpose. One of purpose. That shepherd leads those sheep and they follow him. And he has a purpose in everywhere he goes. He's not just meandering through the mountainside. God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose for my life. And that path is one of relationship. But notice a little further step here. It is one of rumination. I've used this word often in this psalm and other places when we've talked about the sheep. He said, the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, the only time a sheep will lay down is when it's full. The sheep go out and they graze and they eat the grass, and they'll not stop, they'll not lay down until they get their rumen full, which is a stomach, one of their stomachs. They get that rumen full. And when they fill that up and they get full, they lie down. And what David is saying is, my shepherd leads me in paths of righteousness, but he leads me in green pastures. And he said it is one of contentment and rumination. What's that mean? It means that when that sheep lies down in a green pasture, I mean, it's kind of like being at a big buffet. It's kind of being like an endless bar of Bojangles as far as you can see. And you say, man, I'm going to eat this whole thing. And when you start eating and eating and eating, after a while, you get so full you can't eat anymore. You want to, but you can't right then. And so you just sit down. Well, these sheep who are led in this green pasture have fed on good, rich, nutritious green grass. And they have got so full that they now lay down and they do what cattle do and what any cud-chewing animal does. They chew the cud. They ruminate it. They chew it. And if you're following the Lord, it is one of rumination. That is, it is feeding on the Word of God. How do you know if you're saved or not? How do you know if you've been born again by the grace of God? How do you know if you have a relationship with Him? The second step is this. It is one of diet and one of feeding on the Word of God. It is a desire for the Word of God. Peter says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, as newborn babe. Now, nobody has to tell a baby to be hungry. Now, I know there's some times that they have to work with babies about feeding them in the beginning, but babies are naturally born hungry. They have a desire. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you have a desire for the Word of God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you are members of this church? How many in the radio audience, internet audience? How many of you who are visitors today have a real desire for the Word of God? You have a desire for the things of God. And this Bible to you is precious. And you read it and it speaks to you. And you read it and it ministers to you. And you read it and God puts something in your heart. He brings conviction. He shows you things that are wrong. He gives you delight. He shows you things that are blessing to you. And he gives you direction and instruction through the Word of God. My dear friend, if you're walking in the paths of the shepherd, that one of the very first evidences that is that you have a contentment with the Word of God. You love the Word of God, and you feed on the Word of God. You love it, and you thank God for it. Is that true of you? Is that true of you? Are you following the shepherd? Are you walking his path now? If you're not following him to that green pasture of the Word of God, if you're not feeding on the Word of God, then one of two things is true. Number one, you're not his sheep. Or number two, you're out of his will. It is his will that you spend time in this book, that you feed on this book. What a wonderful thing to read the Bible. What a wonderful thing to feed on the Word of God. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." This Word of God is a living Word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's even able to divide the soul and the spirit. It's able to cause you to grow in the Lord. As a newborn baby, you can grow in the Lord. And my dear friend, in the paths of the shepherd, it's one of rumination. It's where you feed on the Word of God, and then you ruminate it, you chew on it, meditate on the Word of God, and it's real in your heart. He says in the book of Psalms, in the very beginning, he said, those who are blessed, those who are like the tree planted by the river water, his delight shall be in the law of the Lord day and night. The Word of God's real to them. Is there anything about you that loves the Bible? Is there anything about you that the Word of God is just inside of your heart? Have you got country music filling your mind and your heart? Have you got something else filling your mind and heart? Have you got money filling your mind and heart? Have you got entertainment or any other thing, any other practice, any part of your business? Is that fill your mind and heart? Or are you in a situation where you're saturated, satisfied, and chewing, meditating on the Word of God, and it's in your heart real? I mean, it may be just one verse, it may be just one word, but God, the Holy Ghost is working in your heart. This path of the shepherd leads is a path of relationship. It is a path of rumination where you feed on the Word of God. Love the Bible. Love the Word of God. This book will help you. This book will bless you. And thank God for it. How many of you have a Bible? Raise your Bible up high. Listen, sing this song. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. That's a little simple song, isn't it? Listen to this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You wouldn't know you were saved. You couldn't go to heaven if it hadn't been for this Bible. And because some Sunday school teacher, some vacation Bible school teacher, or mom or dad, or somebody shared the Word of God with you, and God spoke to your heart through the Word of God, your sins are gone, heaven's your home, and thank God for the Bible. Amen? And love it, and spend time in the Bible. My dear friend, the path of the shepherd leads you to green pastures where you lie down. There is a sense of contentment and fullness. My dear friend, you need to feed on the Word of God. But look a little further into Psalms 23. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures, but he leads me beside the still waters." Now listen, the Christian life, when you're following the shepherd, it is one of rest and it is one of reflection. Now listen, I'm not talking about mysticism, but I'm talking about this. I'm talking about resting in the Lord. I'm talking about coming to this place where you're no longer struggling to try to be what God wants you to be. You're no longer fighting to try to be saved. There is in your heart a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There's a rest in him. I know what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I have a contentment in my heart. I have a peace in my heart. There's a place of rest where I know that I'm saved. Place of rest and reflection. My dear friend, he leads me beside the still waters. And in that place, that water speaks again of the Word of God. It speaks of the Holy Spirit of God. And it is through the ministry of the Word, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And we realize and we think on him. The Bible said he'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. Now, that didn't mean that it's somebody that just thinks about him all the time, although we are to love him and we're to pray without ceasing. But it has to do with somebody whose heart and mind is leaning on him, trusting on him. Oh, I love that old song, don't you? I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. How many of you are walking the paths of the shepherd, and it's one of rest and reflection. It's one where you walk with him and you fellowship with him. And you, and like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us and shared us with the word of God? As they walked with him and he shared the word of God with them. My dear friend, in the Christian life, it's be one of a walk. You ought to be traveling with the Lord. And it ought to be one leading beside still waters where it's a time of rest. You trust him with all of your heart. There's no anxiety about it. No anxiety about it. Are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of dying and going to hell? Or you're afraid of the Lord coming back? When things get really tight and the word of God gets real close to you, do you get nervous about it? About the fact that the wages of sin is death? And as thy soul liveth, thou hast put a step between thee and death? Just one heartbeat away and you'd be in eternity, saved or lost for all eternity? Is there in you a blessed assurance, Jesus is mine? Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Is that perfect peace? It is well with my soul. Is it there? My dear friend, if you're walking with him, there's a sense of peace. There's a sense of rest and reflection and rejoicing in him. But a fourth step, look at it here. Another step is in verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. If you're following the paths of shepherd, it is one of relationship. If you're following the paths of the shepherd, it is one of rumination, feeding on the word of God. If you're walking in the paths of the shepherd, it's one of rest and reflection. It's resting in him and rejoicing in him and praising him and adoring him. But if you're walking in the paths of righteousness, one of restoration. What's that mean? It means I'm hooked up to him. I used to have an old friend down in Florida who, whenever we parted, he'd always say this. He said, remember to do this. Lift me up when you hook up to that heavenly power. He's talking about prayer. He's talking about lift me up when you hook up to that heavenly power. I'm telling you this, my dear friend, if you're walking in the paths of the Savior, it's one of continual recharging, recharging. You've got a car battery, and if you don't turn the engine on and you listen to 94.7 with the ignition on but not with the motor running, it'll kill your battery. Anybody here can testify to that? Don't raise your hand, but I know who you are. If you do that, if you turn over there and listen to whatever you want to and you don't put it on the right way, it'll drain your battery. If a motor's not running, if it's not engaged, and if it's not a connection there, your battery will run down. But if you're walking in the paths of the Savior, it is one of restoration. You're hooked up to a generator that is a continual charging of your battery. With the grace of God. Now you get out here in the flesh, you go try to do what the devil wants you to do, what the world wants you to do, or if you try to serve the Lord in the energy of the flesh, you'll run down in a hurry. But my dear friend, if you'll stay in his path and walk in his path, it is one of a continual restoration and recharging. He'll charge your battery the more you serve God. You say, Brother Billy, what in the world all these people want to go to church all the time for? Because they're following the shepherd. He said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, and they get their battery charged in that process of following the Lord and serving him. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you feel like your battery is just about, the needle's gone this way toward the red a little bit? I mean, it's a little weak. You can cut the lights on, but they're a little bit dim, and there's not the joy there, not the spark there. You don't have the amps that you used to have. It's because you're not walking in the path of the shepherd. If you'll follow him, it's one of restoration. It doesn't drain you, it blesses you. It invigorates you, it fills you with power. If you're walking with him, now you get involved in church work, it'll kill you. If you get involved in secular work, it'll kill you. But if you'll follow the Lord Jesus Christ and let him lead you where he wants you to go in that purpose I was telling about a while ago, it is one of restoration. It is one of continual recharging to be with him and fellowship with him. He excites you. He fills you. He thrills you. If you're walking with him, it is one of restoration. Notice the next step, and I'll be through here in just a moment. Watch. He said this in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a path of relationship. He said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. It's one of rumination, feeding on the word of God. And he said, he makes me lie down beside the still waters. It's one of peace, rest, and reflection. And then he said, he restoreth my soul. It is a continual recharging, walking with him. Being with him, he ignites you and charges your battery. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you're following the shepherd, it is a path of righteousness. It is a path of relationship. It is a path of rumination of the word of God. It is a path of, of rest and reflection, trust in Him, knowing everything's good between your soul and the Savior. It is one, my dear friend, of continual recharging, but it is one of righteousness. If you're following Him, righteousness means simply this, right living. Not according to my righteousness, not according to Paul's righteousness, not Baptist righteousness, but in a right relationship with Him, what He wants you to do, according to the Bible. So many of God's people are not doing that today. They're not following the shepherd. They're not living righteous lives. They're not living holy lives. They're not living separated lives. They're not living lives where they're following the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, all of this is based not on your distance from the world, but on your relationship and your closeness to Christ. If you follow Him, walk close to Him, my dear friend, He'll lead you in paths of righteousness. You follow close to Him and you'll live right as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as an employee somewhere, you'll work. And whatever that relationship is, if you're following Him, you'll live righteously. Not because you're doing that to be saved, but because you are saved and because you're following the Savior. The path of the shepherd is one of righteousness. You can't wander off out on the left field or right field, either one. You got to stay, you follow Him, it'll be one of righteousness. You're following Him, close to Him, and you'll live a right life. Live that life that honors Christ. Live that life in such a way that when people see in the community, they have no question about, that's a Christian. That's a Christian man. That's a Christian woman. The way they live, the way they act, the way they talk, there are no question marks. They're Christian. They live that way. If you follow the shepherd, if you're going to follow the shepherd, it'll be a life of righteousness, holiness, right living. No question. You're going to live right. You want to engage in the things of the world. You follow Him closely, you'll live according to the word of the God. Follow Him. Walk closely with Him. The path of a shepherd is one of righteousness. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness so I can brag. No. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know why, if you stay close to the shepherd, you know why He wants you to do that? It is for His name's sake. He wants people to look at you and see the grace of God and see what He's done in your life. The Bible said that He saved us, washed us through the wash of regeneration, one day to present Him faultless before the Father. And He said, when you live your life, a life of righteousness, men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And my dear friend, the reason you follow close to Him is not so people say, well, He sure is a good person, or she is a good person, or boy, they are real. No, it's not that at all. It's so they'll see the righteousness of Christ, and He'll get all the glory for His name's sake. I don't want to dishonor Him. I don't want to bring a reproach on the name of Christ. I don't want anybody to look at this preacher and say, that preacher, he said this, that, and the other, but he did this, that, and the other, and he lived this away, and bring a shame on me, my family, but more on the Lord Jesus Christ. Must not be nothing to that Christian stuff. Must not be a thing to it. I'd like for people to look at my life and your life, and when they did that, it's for His name's sake. They said, boy, if God did that for them, He can do it for me. For His name's sake, live for the Lord. So when they ask a reason for the hope that's in you, you can tell them Jesus Christ is the reason I do what I do. Jesus Christ is the reason I live like I live. I got to finish. I'm through. I'm not going to get through. I'm just going to quit here in a few minutes. But notice this next statement in this next part of this psalm. He said this, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's a path of righteousness. It is a path of relationship. It is a path of rumination, feeding on the Word of God. It is a path, my dear friend, of rest and reflection. It's a path of restoration, continue charging back, but it's one of righteousness. But the next step, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It is not only one of relationship and rumination, feeding on the Word of God and rest and reflection and continual recharging, restoring my soul. It is one of holiness, righteous. I will live right because I'm following Him. But it is a life of total reliance. I trust Him. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Because I'm smart, because I've been working out, because I know how to avoid danger. Mm-mm. David said, there's one reason that I'm not afraid to go through that valley of the shadow of death. For thou art with me. Following the shepherd is one of total reliance. Trust in him. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Simply to thy cross I cling. It is total reliance. That's the only way you're going to get to go to heaven. You can't get saved and believe you're going to go to heaven because of Jesus plus baptism, Jesus plus good works, Jesus plus this, that, or the other. It is Christ and Christ alone. Total reliance on him. And if you're following him as a sheep and you're following the shepherd, he leads you in paths of total reliance. I'm totally trusting him. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. God's wonderful provision. God takes care of us. You can trust him. Here we are, 2013, going 2014. What's going on in the world? I can't answer all the problems, but I can just tell you one thing. If you'll follow him and trust him, if you in all your ways acknowledge him, if you lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, trust him with all your heart and walk in the path of the shepherd, he will direct your paths and it be one of total reliance. You can trust him. Boy, he's got everything you need. There's not one thing that you need that you'll be confronted with that he does not have for you. There's no fear of your future if you've got him. There's no fear of finances if you've got him. There's no fear in regard to your family if you've got him. It's all about him. Man, I'm telling you, he's with you. Just think about it. You know, people talk about all the people got money. And man, it just blows my mind, and I know your mind, to think about some of the money that people have in their actual possession. But just suppose if Bill Gates was saved, I don't know if he's saved now, but just suppose he was your very best friend and he says to you, I want us to go travel all over Europe. We'll go all over Europe, then we'll go down through Asia, and then we'll go down to Australia, and then we'll fly back, and we'll go through all the Bahamas, and then we'll fly over, and we'll go up down in South America, and then we'll go over, go through Hawaii, and we'll come back through California. We'll do all the West Coast. We'll go up into Canada and up into Alaska, and we'll do all those things. You come, and we'll come back, and you say, well, Bill, that's great, and I'm glad you're my friend, but Bill, I'll be honest with you, I don't have enough money to get to McGee's Crossroad. And he said, you don't have to worry about it. I'm your friend. I have unlimited resources, and I'm not asking you to go with me for you to pay one dime. If you'll go with me, I'll take every bit of, I'll foot every bit of the bill. I have no doubt he'd be able to do that. I believe financially he could do that. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's total reliance. If you're living a life right now of fear, you're unsettled about your family, you're unsettled about your relationships, you're unsettled about your finances, it's simply this, you're not following close to the shepherd. Because when you're falling close to him, it is one of total reliance. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm not trusting my own wisdom, not leaning to my own understanding. In all my ways I acknowledge him, and I'm walking in the paths of the shepherd. Will you bow your heads for prayer? Bow your heads for prayer. I gave you a very simple, maybe not even a good illustration of total reliance. I want to ask you a simple question this morning. You're here this morning and you're not saved. Why is that? Why are you risking your eternal destiny on heaven or hell, whether you're going to be saved or not? Why would you do that? One of the reasons, one of the things the devil uses is this, that you're too great a sinner. That there's no way that God could save you because you have too many sin. Can I say something to you? He has unlimited resource. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. His grace is sufficient, the Bible says. And if you will come to him, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. Total reliance. And everybody in this building that's saved came to a point in their life one time when they realized they could not do it, they couldn't save themselves, but they 100% totally relied on the Lord, and He saved them. He loves you this morning. He knows all about you. He knew your name before the foundation of the world. He bore your own sin in His body on the tree way back there 2,000 years ago. And He bore your sin and He paid the sin debt for you there. And right now it comes down to this hour. Will you totally rely on Him? Will you come just as you are without one plea, but that His blood was shed for you? Will you right now trust Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul? And if you'll do that, He'll save you this morning. And I ask you another question. Are you here this morning and you're a Christian? You say, I'm saved. The things I've laid out for you this morning in regard to the paths of the shepherd, they are reality. They are those who are following close to Him. And one of two things is true. If you don't totally rely on Him, if you don't feed on the Word of God, if you're not have your battery charged continually, either you're not following Him closely or you're not His sheep. And I'd challenge you this morning to search your heart, see if you're redeemed, if you're saved by the grace of God. If you are, then would you do this morning? You're out of His will. Would you come to Him? He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I believe there is a beckoning voice of the Savior for the sheep that's backslidden. He told those disciples, to those Pharisees, He said, how many of you having 99 sheep will not leave in the fold and go and find that one sheep that's lost? Now, I'll remind you, that sheep is a sheep. And they do get out of the will of God. And the shepherd wants you to come to Him. He'll call His sheep. And He may be drawing you this morning as a child of God to come and get back in step with Him. Be faithful to Him. Follow Him. Get in the Word of God like you've never been. You've used to read the Word of God and you're out of it. Spend time with Him, rejoicing in Him, worshiping Him. Be faithful to the Word of God, to the house of God. Walk closely to Him. And live a life of total reliance on Him. Thou art with me. Of all the things a Christian could say that brings peace and joy to their heart, to say Jesus is with me. All men forsake me. Paul said, every man's forsaken me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. What a peace to know He's with you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. Some of you, my dear friend, are here this morning and you're not saved. In just a moment, we'll have some music and a song. I'd invite you to come to the nearest aisle and come down and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Right now, today, you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Right now, today, you can be saved by being trusted in Him and believing on Him, accepting Him in your heart. Will you do that now? Holy Ghost of God speaking to your heart. Your heart's been beating through this message, and you didn't plan for that to happen today, but God, the Holy Ghost, is dealing with you. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're a Christian, and you know you've not been following as closely as you ought to, and you want to get close to Him. You want to be aware of His presence. You want to be able to fellowship with Him. You want to feel His touch and feel His presence once again, and to be on fire for Him, and to know that you're walking so close that you're having your battery continue charged. Because you're staying close to Him. I pray God to do that in your heart. And you'll come snuggle up real close to Him around this old-fashioned altar this morning and ask Him to purge your heart and mind, forgive you for your failure, and ask Him to fill you fresh and new and use you for His glory. Some of you may have been praying about a church home. You believe this is where God wants you. And I believe God, the Holy Spirit, may speak to your heart. You obey Him this morning. I want to pray right now. First of all, let me ask you this question. Is there a man or woman, a boy or girl in here who'd say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I am not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I've been saved. But preacher, will you pray for me? Across this great auditorium this morning, would you raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anybody like that in the building this morning? I wonder this morning, if you're here this morning, you're a Christian. And you say to me, Brother Billy, I'm a Christian. I know I've been saved by the grace of God. But I also know that I don't feel His touch and His presence and His power and His overflowing joy like I did. It seems to me that I'm walking at a distance from Him. I'm separated somehow from him, and I want to get up close to him. I want to get right into close to behind the shepherd. I want to feel his touch and his presence once again. I want to be on fire for the Lord. I want people to see my life as I walk in him and follow the shepherd, and I want it to be for his name's sake, for his glory. And preacher, will you pray for me? I'm saved. But I know I'm not falling as close to the shepherd as I ought to. Would you raise your hand across the building? Oh, God bless you. God bless you. We pray one for another. Will you pray one for another that God will help us to get close to him? We need personal revival. We need God to move. I don't know what God's got in your heart and life this morning, but I want to pray. And then as the music, as Brother Brad sings, or whatever God's going to do this morning, Brother Brad, whatever the Lord leads, I want you to be obedient to the Holy Ghost this morning. If I can help you pray for you, I will. There are good men here who pray with the men, ladies who pray with the ladies. As God's Spirit speaks your heart, you slip, make your way to the altar. God's people always lead the way to the altar. Heavenly Father, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God will do in the heart of men, women, boys, and girls just exactly what you want done. Oh, God, don't let anybody in here die lost. Don't let them die and go to hell. I pray that they'll come and 100% rely on you, nothing but the Savior. Trust him, the only Savior. Lord, I pray they'd come by faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning, God, that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to your people, that God, we'd follow close to the shepherd, and God, we'd walk in his way, do his will. Lord, you promised if we'd lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge you, that you direct our paths. God, we want to follow you. God, while these are coming, I pray, God, you move on the hearts of others, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name.